Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dramasology Podcast. In this episode, I continue on my review of Marry My Husband. This week saw the end of this drama with episodes 15 and 16 airing, and we have now reached the conclusion of the drama, which is good because I feel like I was done with this drama at episode 10. So I'm glad it's over, for one. And so in this last two episodes, we saw our villains punished and we saw our leads get their happy ending the way it should be. Unfortunately for me, I feel like the drama made me a fan of the villain more than the leads, which is unfortunate. And I guess it's not really anything to do with the leads or how they act or anything. I just think that the character of Jung Soo-min is just so interesting that she overshadowed everybody else. And so the writers, we are really good at, you know, writing a really, really good villain. And Song Ah-in was really, really good at just portraying one. So generally, I just want to first start with the strong points of this drama, and then I'll move on to the weak points. And then finally, I'll talk about what I kind of wish would come out of this drama, because honestly, I feel like I'm going to miss Jung Soo-min so much. And so Team 4 ad is going to come on at the end of this episode, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, to start, the strong points of this drama, I mean, when I was watching the first couple of episodes, it was really, really good. I was really, really enjoying it, mainly because it was very interesting for me to see the lead, Kang Ji-won, kind of redo her life and, you know, and grow to be a stronger person. That was, I feel like, the whole point of the first part of this drama, and I enjoyed seeing that journey. And so it was very, very interesting just to watch her grow as a character and as a person. Another strong point for me in this drama was the numerous side characters, right? So we have Yang Juran and Yoo Hyun, who are like the friends of our female lead. We had Secretary Lee, we had the grandpa, and so all these characters, you know, were very interesting and I think dynamic in their own ways, right? And I think for me, that was very good to see. They were very entertaining and they just made the drama fun for me, right? Then another strong part of this drama, and I will even say like maybe the strongest point in this drama, is the character of the villains, Park Min-won and Jung Soo-min. And I will even go as far as to say that the strongest points in this drama, the person that had carried this drama, at least for me, was Jung Soo-min, closely followed by Park Min-won. So I think that these three things were really excellently done in this drama. Kang Ji-won's reinvention of herself, the side characters, and the villains. You know, they were a combo that could not be beat in the first half, right? And I really enjoyed just watching them. But that's about it for strong points. Like, I guess you could go back and see, like, my previous episode reviews and kind of hear what I liked about the drama at those points. But honestly, now I can barely think of good things about the drama because I feel like the bad things overshadow. And I know some people are going to be like, I'm being a Debbie Downer and it wasn't as bad as I'm making it. But for me, I feel like it was really, really bad. Like if it was like character suicide, plot, destruction, and just utter nonsense that was riddled with the second part of this drama, right? And that is where really the weak points of this drama start to shine. I think one of the biggest weak points in this drama is the character of the male lead. For some reason, I just don't like the male lead character. It's weird because in the first half, I kind of liked him, but I don't know. There's just something about Yoo Ji-hyuk that seemed very passive. And I mentioned this in my previous episode. He seemed very passive. He seemed like he had the weight of the world on his shoulder. He wasn't doing anything. He was really there to just be the romantic interest of the female lead. So very, very flat in a way that I feel like the other characters did not give me that vibe, right? The other characters kind of looked like they had hobbies. They had things that they enjoyed doing that wasn't just about the plot of the drama that they were there for. Whereas I feel like the male lead was only there literally because the female lead's father actually sends him back in time for this one purpose. So maybe it makes sense that his only existence is to be there for the female lead. But for me, Yoo Ji-hyuk was not a very dynamic male lead. That was the first issue. The second point that I think this drama fails at is keeping the momentum on Kang Ji-won's character and I wish to kind of fix things herself. I read a comment on my drama list where someone was like, Kang Ji-won is really no match for Jung Soo-min. What I liked about the first half of this drama was that Kang Ji-won was willing to work and put in the effort to kind of defeat Jung Soo-min. But I felt like at some point, she started to rely on Yujiok too much, which is contrary to what she said in the beginning, where she's like, she wants to do this on her own and she doesn't want his help. I felt like at some point, he became our only shield. And without him, she would not have had a chance. Right. And that kind of makes her a weaker character than Jung Soo-min. Because let's be honest, if we are being completely honest, the idea of the Chaebol is kind of a nuclear option. In the sense of that, it's like that trump card that you can't win against. It's that joker, right? It's that card that like will always win over anybody. Because again, who can beat a Chaebol? So if it was just plain Kang Ji-won versus Jung Soo-min, even though she was reborn, I feel like Jung Soo-min would still have had one over her. Jung Soo-min is just that crafty, right? In the sense that like Kang Ji-won is not that kind of person. And I feel like that is a weakness in itself and makes her seem kind of like a damsel in distress, which maybe is okay. It's fine that she's like that, but there is that aspect of me that I'm like, if I'm being honest, they are not on the same level. Jung Soo-min is just, she's on a different plane. And people that listen to this are going to be like, you sound like a Jung Soo-min fan. That's because I am. I am a huge, huge fan of her in the way that I feel like I was not a fan of the bully in The Glory. Like, I wanted the bully in The Glory to pay. She was kind of a one-dimensional villain. Whereas Jung Soo-min has this backstory that makes her interesting. But we'll talk about Jung Soo-min later. So yeah, that's one thing that I would say. Having Yoo Ji-ok in Kang Ji-won's life was kind of a cheat. That I guess that's why the father sent him back in time, right? But at some point, it started to be the weak point. Like, she couldn't do anything without him. And I didn't like that as much. Then the next weak point about this drama, and I know for a lot of people this is the same issue they had, is the character of Oyura. She was the most pointless character I have ever seen. Boa that acts Oyura is also not a fantastic actress, right? She's very cartoonish in the way she acts, unfortunately. And given that we've seen what good acting is like in like Song Ga-yoon, having a character like Oyura come in, right, you just mess up everything, because Jung Soo-min was just so much more interesting, right? And so her character, her actions were not making sense in any way. And I feel like she did not add anything to the plot. I feel like the only reason why they brought her in, and if you've not watched the last two episodes, you should click off now because I'm about to spoil things. I feel like the only reason why they brought her in was to die in Yoo Ji-ok's place. But I feel like they could have done that, executed that passing of the fate in another way. She didn't need to be the one to take that fate, but I feel like they wanted her to be the one, and so they brought her in for that. I don't know if that's how it is in the novel, and maybe that's what they decided to follow, but I've heard that the webtoon is not like that, and honestly I feel like they should have followed the webtoon on that point, because she wasn't useful in any way, right? For someone that claimed that everyone was beneath her, she was sleeping with Park Min-wan and like just doing stupid shit that I feel like a normal, smarter person would not have been doing. And she did not add anything to the story, at least for me. And honestly, she changed the plot of the second half into a soap opera, into a Mak Jang drama, and it was not necessary. And so she was, I think, her introduction was the weakest point in this drama. The minute she came on screen, the writing and everything just went into the toilet. Like, it was so bad. And I think that's really the part that pisses me off the most, because without her, I feel like this story would have been so much, much better. But yeah, moving on to the other point that is, I think, kind of tying into the third point I mentioned about Oyura, is that because of her existence and the plot that they gave to match her character, they ended up taking away from other plots that could have been. For example, the story between Secretary Lee and Yang Juran, the story between Baekhoon and Yoo Hee-yeon, right? Like, I had very good feelings towards Secretary Lee and Yang Juran because just the two actors have this chemistry. They are older actors and they just, you know, they had a better chemistry on screen. Whereas, like, I feel like I wasn't as tied to Baekhoon and Yoo Hee-yeon because they didn't show us enough of them for me to even feel a like real connection between them. So there wasn't that chemistry, there wasn't that build for me that I'll be like, oh, actually I want to see more of them. I wish they had done that instead of giving plots to Oyura. And so that's another way in which the story feels, right? It feels the characters that really should have been the focal point of the second half, right? And instead, you know, we get the shenanigans with Oyura. It really became Oyura's story, right? And the title was Marry My Fiancé. That was the plot of our own story. So yeah, that was, I think, the part of this drama that really failed. Now that I've gotten that out of the way, I also want to talk about the character of Jung Soo-min and just how things ended for her. Because again, she is the most interesting part of this drama. She is the MVP of this drama, and she's, for me, the most interesting, right? The most compelling. So at the end, we find her in prison, and my guesses are correct, because I mentioned previously that she obviously is dealing with some kind of mental illness, and they really show that, you know, when she finally finds out that Kang Ji-won, this her bestie, is marrying a Chaewol guy, right? She loses her mind and she's like, no, Kang Ji-won cannot be happy without me. So Jung Soo-min has, you know, come a long way from just stealing boyfriends to, you know, being in jail. I think the most memorable part of this last two episodes for me was the fight scene between her and Park Mi-wan that ends up in Park Mi-wan's death. It's very funny because I found it very funny how she kept saying that he was shooting blanks and it was important. Like the way she was just like goading him and just insulting him was like chef's kiss. It was so well done, and it was like the funniest part. Even though they were like fighting and it was a high tension, but the two actors are just so good that like I was so entertained, right? But I really like that in that scene, you know, she's just so industrious, because I expected her to die in that scene, honestly. But I'm glad they kept her alive, because if she had died, I would have stopped watching immediately. Even if it was just one episode left, I would have stopped watching instantly. Because the moment where she like manages to push Park Mi-wan and kills him, right? Like, am I the only one that was like clapping for her? Like, it was so good, because I mean, Park Mi-wan is a different kind of trash, right? I mean, someone that is able to like think of killing someone so quickly, right, without any thought, remorse of like, oh, this person is my wife, this person was my ex-fiancé, stuff like that. It was a different kind of trash, in that I feel like Jung Soo-min had this hesitation about killing Kang Ji-won, right? It means that honestly, if Park Mi-wan wasn't there, Jung Soo-min might not have resulted into what she resulted into. Another scene that was really interesting to me was the scene where they finally had the final face-off, right? It wasn't as climactic as I would have wanted it to be. You know, I wish there was more tussle, more, you know, just emotions involved. But it was still pretty good. It's a shame because, like I mentioned in my last episode review of this drama, Jung Soo-min has had a lot of chances to turn her life around. Be it that when she was younger, she did not have to resort in what she resorted into, you know, manipulating Kang Ji-won, bullying her, you know, all those things. Because again, she's beautiful, she's smart, she is someone that would survive the worst corporate job out there and come out on top, right? She's that kind of character. The same thing happens when she kills Park Mi-wan. Honestly, she could have stayed behind and just claimed self-defense, because genuinely it was self-defense, right? Like, Park Mi-wan wanted to kill her and she could have proven it was self-defense, like he stole all her money and stuff like that and had insurance in her name. And so she could have proved that that's what he wanted to do, kill her. But instead, because of that hatred, that tie, that I don't know if it's imprinting that you can even call it at this point, on Kang Ji-won, she felt the need to still go and do that final act of trying to kill Kang Ji-won. Because to her, that is the ultimate. That is really our God. In the way I feel like, again, going back to the glory, Song Ye-ho's character, you know, made kind of a God out of the villain that bullied her. That's kind of the reverse here, right? In that the villain has made a god out of the female lead. And it's a shame that that's how she ends up, right? In jail and still playing the victim to the very end. Now, guys, this is where the tinfoil art comes on, right? Like, I was thinking about this yesterday. Wouldn't it be interesting if we had a season 2 or just some sort of like sequel to Marry My Husband, where we see Jung Soo-min being released from prison, probably on like good behavior or because, you know, she's mentally healed and like stuff like that, right? And she kind of has this redemption arc. Like, anyone getting that same, like, that same vision? Just imagine, guys, like a sequel to Marry My Husband. It will be just titled Jung Soo-min, right? And here's the synopsis, guys. It's basically Jung Soo-min, newly released from prison, has to navigate the world as an ex-convict while dealing with the trauma and actions of her past. I mean, like, I could be a screenwriter at this point. That is a fantastic drama, right? Like, you guys, can you imagine how good that drama would be? Because you'd imagine that in that drama, right, Jung Soo-min could like move to a small town and, you know, everybody knows she's an ex-convict, but she doesn't care because she's Jung Soo-min and she's a bad bitch and also kind of crazy, right? And she kind of figures things out. It's still obviously an anti-hero because she can never be like that Mary Sue kind of character like Kang Ji-won, right? But imagine she's like that anti-hero. She's like telling kids off and, you know, insulting people, but like she grows to have a good heart, right? And grows to kind of heal and, you know, deal with everything that she's done. You know, I feel like it's a story, because I really want to see more of Song Ga-yeon at this point, and I want to see her play this character, right? She could even be like a femme fatale. Anybody know the drama Ripley? If you know that drama, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like a character that, because again, she has that vibe to her that is just very charismatic and, you know, very interesting. So I feel like it's a story, right? And I want to see that story. I know it will never happen, and again, Tinfoil Hat is on, but I feel like it would be such a good idea. But yeah, that was what I was thinking about yesterday when I finished the drama. I was like, oh, I want to see more of her. Like, and she's crying in the final scene. Like, I want redemption for her, right? Because definitely her killing of Park Min-won can still be considered self-defense, right? And what else has she really done, guys? Let's be honest. I am literally the worst person because I am basically advocating for an abusive person. But I don't know, it's just something about her that's very interesting. So yeah, she stole Kang Ji-won's husband, and obviously like she's a terrible person and all that thing, right? But let's be honest, even in the first life, it wasn't like she was the one that killed Kang Ji-won. That was actually Park Min-won, right? So again, I feel like there's more to be said about her. There's a story there, really, if the writers knew what they were doing. Since they have the rights, they can definitely write a story about this girl, because oh my god, she's just so interesting to me, and I would love to see more story about her. It doesn't have to be long. Yes, it can be like 8 episodes long, right? Like Netflix kind of level of like just a short drama, and it will literally tell the story well. But I know it's never gonna happen. And it's wishful thinking, I know. Yeah, anyway, Tinfoil Hat off. That's really it for my review of Marry My Husband. I will say I want to give this drama a 7. It climbs up to a 7 because of characters like Jung Soo-min and just how well a character was portrayed, and it is brought down to a 7 because of the character Oyura, unfortunately, and just how the plot messes up at the second half. So yeah, that's really it for this drama. I'm glad it's over. I can move on to other dramas because there's so many dramas that have come out in the meantime that I want to cover. So yeah, that's really it for Marry My Husband. It's been a journey from highs to a huge low, and I am happy for anybody that actually likes this drama to the end, because there are people like that, you know, this drama was a 10 over 10 for them, but for me, unfortunately, it has to go down to a 7 for those reasons. I can't stand when people mess up the second half of dramas that are easily avoidable. So yeah, that's really it for my review of Marry My Husband. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a nice day. Bye.